The Scythians, their origins and religion. Now, we've gotten the Germans to the point that they're beginning their initial migrations in the BC period. We'll go back and check on them later. But we need to go across the continent a little bit to the Black Sea region and the Caucasus and look at the Scythians, and then we'll move over to the Celts, and then we'll go back to Germany. Now, the Indo-European peoples, commonly called the Scythians, spanned the territory ranging from modern-day Romania to modern-day China. However, the Scythians and the Sarmatians mainly occupied the north coast of the Black Sea, from modern-day Romania to the Volga River in modern-day southern Russia. The Scythians existed between at least the mid-8th century BCE and the 3rd century Common Era. While the Sarmatians, if we count Sarmonti, existed between 5th century BCE and the 5th century AD. So to tell the story of the Scythians and the Sarmatians is to try and piece together a puzzle with a considerable amount of missing pieces, and becomes even harder when one takes into account that some of the existing pieces have raised doubt about their veracity, as is the case of Herodotus, a Greek historian who lived around 484 to 425 BCE, who tells us about the Scythians in his histories. Now, the evidence for the existence of wagon-train nomadism, that is, nomadic people that developed and used wagons for transportation of their belongings over long distances, over long-distance migrations, or nomadic behavior, can be traced as far back as the Bronze Age. But it's in the first millennium BCE that the archaeological data points to an increase of nomadic horse breeding in the northern Pontic region. It is only from the 8th century BCE onward that we start to know the name of the peoples who had inhabited there, the Chimerans and the Scythians, through historical data. It is thought that the Scythians originated in wave migrations of several ancient related populations to the Indo-Iranian language group that came from Central Asia or Southern Siberia. Geographically, the full extent of the presence of the Scythians is not entirely known. However, it is known that they occupied a region ranging from the River Danube in the west to the River Don in the east and to the Black Sea in the south. This region was the core of their civilization. Nevertheless, at certain times of expansion, this border could go further and include the Caucasus and the Dobruja region to the southeast and west, respectively. It is thought that the geographical area occupied by the Scythians had an abundance of fertile soil and rivers, which provided optimal pasture lands for the Scythian nomad horse-breeding civilization. However, reconstructing the landscape of the Scythians' home still remains a problem to solve amongst archaeologists. Their introduction into the historical record starts out with warfare, as their raids into the Near East civilizations are registered in both cuneiform documents of the Assyrio-Babylonian origin and in the works of authors of classical antiquity. Evidence of Scythian invasions is not only confirmed by the historical records, but with archaeological findings of arrowheads, horse gear, and other items of Scythian origin as well. Archaeological data of the destruction of the Arutin towns and fortresses also corroborate the Scythian incursions into the Near East and the importance they played as a political destabilizer in the region. The Caucasus region was their entrance into the Near East, and their presence in the local tribes there is evident by archaeological data. The Scythian burial sites called kurgans of tribal chiefs and their mounted bodyguard were found in this region, and the Scythians are in a frequent find in archaeological sites of local tribes. From this point onward, the Scythian people would influence the politics of the Near East and the Black Sea as they kept raiding their lands. However, during this process, the Scythians would also assimilate into their own culture the aspects they liked about other civilizations that they contacted. Scythian material culture was enriched by their connection with the wealthy sedentary civilizations in both their complexity and their material value. The luxury of the Near Eastern sedentary civilizations was captivating to the nomadic steppe tribes, and so a process of cultural absorption was started. So let's look at a brief round of art, culture, and religion of the Scythians. The Scythians had a language system of Indo-Iranian origin that influenced other nomadic Indo-Aryan people, like the Sarmatians, just to an extent. Since they did not have any written records, any study of their language relies heavily on the Scythian words classical authors wrote down in their books, so it is very difficult to reconstruct how exactly they would have spoken. Since we can't rely on original sources by the Scythians, some of our knowledge of their culture and religion is based on artifacts found in archaeological sites. For instance, Scythian art reflected much of what their way of life looked like, with a focus on representation of animals, stags, birds, bears, etc., with an emphasis on horses. This art is not only on physical objects, but also on their own bodies, as they would tattoo these natural animal iconographs on them. The early period of the Scythian history featured Near Eastern, especially Assyrio-Babylonian, influence on their artistic output as they came into contact with them via military incursions and raids. However, from the 6th century BCE on, the Greek cultural influence can already be seen in their material culture, reaching an apex in the 4th century BCE. The absorption of the Greek culture promoted by trade, especially in the 4th century BCE, reflected in the art style of their pieces. Gold ornaments, gold jewelry, hair combs, jugs, and other items began to feature a more pictorial and scenic style, with decors of Scythian daily life or metaphysical events. The Scythian culture enrichment during this phase wasn't synonymous with the enrichment of every individual, but only of the chiefs or the aristocracy, who would be benefited from the cultural exchange that the Scythians had with other civilizations, at least in a perpetual sense, as the precious items of art would accompany the aristocratic Scythians into the afterlife. A commerce enriched them, and the Greek cultural influence increased among the Scythian tribe. The nomadic or semi-nomadic tribes became more sedentary and settled in northern Black Sea area near Greek towns. A gradual change in the traditional burial method with the kurgans can also be seen during the 5th and 4th century. The conventional process of laying the body in a grave was done on a mattress or a primitive couch made of plant fibers. However, following Greek influence, the practice of using sarcophagi became more and more common, especially for the aristocratic members of society. In zones where the Greeks had direct contact with the Scythians, for example, Crimea, the royal and noble burials of the 5th and 4th centuries had the bodies laid in a sarcophagus. The Scythian religion was heavily influenced by Indo-Aryan gods, and at the center of their pantheon was the goddess Tabiti, who, according to Herodotus, was responsible for a safe and well-functioning household. The priest class, the Inari, were thought by the Scythians to have the gift of prophecy, given to them by the goddess Argamassa, queen of the heavens and mistress of the animals. To tell the future, the Inari would use strips cut from the bark of the linden tree. The Inari also had the power to heal the Scythian king by divination, at least in Herodotus's narrative. To cure the king, the Inari supposedly would find any man who had falsely sworn loyalty to the king, treating this treason as the cause of his disease. They would then kill them. With the traitor punished for their treason, the king's health would apparently improve. This passage by Herodotus tells us more about how the Inari supposedly cured the king. It also gives us a clear idea of how much influence these priests held in Scythian society. By crossing the archaeological data with these narratives, we can confirm that the religion indeed played a significant role in everyday life, and the Inari had a crucial role in it, so much so that they were buried with riches and precious ceremonial artifacts. Herodotus also remarks that the Inari dressed in the clothes of a woman and were hermaphrodites, as they were cursed by the goddess Aphrodite. In his histories, Herodotus talks about the curse as a way to explain the unusual Scythian femininity. So the Scythians, who had plundered the temple of the Ashkelon and their descendants forever, were smitten by the divinity with a disease that made them women instead of men, and the Scythians say that it was for this reason that they were diseased, and that for the reason travelers who visit Scythia now see among them the affection of those who by the Scythians are called Inari. Although this curse is a myth, the fact the Scythians believed it is true would have imparted the importance of their society upon women, and venerating them would please the gods and thus protect them from further punishment. However, the likely explanation why the Scythians had a matriarchal society lies at the cultural heart of the Indo-Iranian primordial tribe from which they originated. That culture probably had a social structure where women not only had a prominent place of power, but more importantly, had a deep connection with the divine forces. This is why both Scythian and Sarmatian tribes share this societal feature. The Inari were responsible for religious rituals as well, and besides animal sacrifices, which would include various types of livestock, and on important occasions, horses, the Scythians also used hemp and alcohol in these rituals to get into a spiritual trance. Another religious ritual that the Sarmatians would also come to share with the Scythians was the practice of worshiping a god of war, who Herodotus equates with the Greek god Ares, by placing offerings in the small mounds made of brushwood where an iron sword was placed. The Scythians, in fact, unlike the Sarmatians, had a proper temple or earth mound, which was specifically dedicated to this kind of worship, meaning their place of worship would be semi-stationary and would be placed in locations reserved for these types of rituals. We find lots of female warrior burials in the area where you find most of the archaeological data. And there's always the discussion that the idea that you have the Amazons comes from the warrior women associated with the Scythians. But we have a lot more to go. Now, the sources for this, the Germanic people, their origin, expansion, and culture by Owen, The Civilization of the Celts by Launay, and The Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.